Last week in the Gospel, we heard about a tax collector who went to the temple to pray, but who, because of his sins, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, and so standing at a distance from the customary place of prayer, he said simply, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." But that man was a character in a parable told by the Lord Jesus. While today we meet another tax collector, this one a real man in the ancient city of Jericho, down in the desert, near the Dead Sea and the River Jordan. The account of the conversion of Zacchaeus is found at the beginning of chapter 19 of St. Luke's Gospel. And later in that same chapter, we read about the solemn entrance of the Lord Jesus to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. We also know from St. John's Gospel that in the days before Holy Week, Jesus and the 12 were at the River Jordan, near where John baptized, and it was there that Christ received a message from Martha and Mary that their brother Lazarus was gravely ill. So it is quite likely that Christ's encounter with Zacchaeus took place during those same days, and if so, then this meeting with Zacchaeus was one of the final events in the public ministry of the Lord Jesus before the raising of Lazarus and the world historical events of Holy Week. But no matter when the meeting of Christ and Zacchaeus took place, we need to understand a bit about tax collection in the Holy Land 2,000 years ago if we are to grasp the significance of this exchange. The Roman Empire was a vast administrative state which embraced many nations, cultures, languages, and religions. But the one thing common to the people in all of those places was the obligation to pay taxes to Rome. Roman tax collectors were assigned a total amount of money to be paid from their districts, and if they raised more than that amount, they kept the profit. There were many different kinds of taxes and duties, and they were levied in so many different ways that it was almost impossible for anyone to know truly how much money he owed the empire. So local tax collectors had latitude in the raising of revenues, and they could grow wealthy by extracting more than was owed. These men also often acted as loan sharks by lending money to those who could not pay their taxes, and then reaping the reward of high interest payments on that debt. And even worse than all that was the willingness of some local people to work in this way for the hated imperial oppressors, whose rule had been inflicted by conquest on nations which could not stand alone. For all these reasons, in the time of the Lord Jesus, tax collectors in Judea and Galilee were regarded by faithful Jews as the same as seditious traitors and armed robbers, and so they were not welcome to worship with their neighbors in synagogues. And that explains why the call of the tax collector Matthew to be one of the 12 apostles was so astonishing to those around Jesus, who could not understand why a rabbi would consort with notorious public sinners. The call of Matthew, of course, occurred at the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus, and now 3 years later, at the end, came another astonishing encounter with a hated tax collector. St. Luke tells us that Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector in Jericho and a wealthy man. Jericho is one of the oldest inhabited places on earth because it is an oasis in the desert on the road up to Jerusalem. And Jericho was home to a vast grove of trees fed by natural springs and the nearby River Jordan. The date palms and balsam trees of Jericho were famed for their produce throughout the empire. And being the chief tax collector in an international center of commerce was a lucrative business for Zacchaeus. Then one day, Jesus and the 12 were passing through Jericho, and they drew a large crowd, quite likely including some of the many people who would soon fill Jerusalem during the coming feast of Passover, both those who placed palm branches before Christ that Sunday and those who shouted 5 days later for his death. Luke tells us that Zacchaeus was a short man, and because of the crowd, the chief tax collector could not see Jesus as he passed along the road. And that is why Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed up a tree just to get a look. Imagine the scene. This man was hated by his neighbors, forbidden to worship with them, and they rightly regarded him as a collaborator in the abuse of their own people. And so the last thing they wanted for this wretch was to be saved by God. But for whatever reason, Zacchaeus wanted to be near the Lord Jesus. Then the Savior stopped under the sycamore tree, looked up at the despised man in this ridiculous posture, and astonished the crowd with a simple call to conversion and communion. "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." Then Luke tells us that Zacchaeus did come down quickly and received Jesus with joy. A more literal rendering of the Greek text here would be that Jesus told Zacchaeus to come down making haste. And the verb for making haste is the root of the words for zeal, eagerness, and diligence. So Jesus was not just telling Zacchaeus how he should leave the tree, but how he and we should walk the way of the cross, without delay and with zeal, eagerness, and diligence. We know nothing more about Zacchaeus than what we have just read. Was he truly rapacious and treacherous, or just trying to provide for his family in difficult circumstances? Did he reverence God, however imperfectly, or was he an irreligious scoffer? Was he curious about the deep things of life, or just a superficial fool, content with the pleasures of wealth? We cannot know. But Zacchaeus had obviously heard of the Lord Jesus before this encounter, and perhaps Jericho's chief tax collector had even heard Christ preach about the kingdom of God and say, "Repent and believe in the gospel." And given the location of Jericho, perhaps Zacchaeus had earlier met John the Baptist down at the River Jordan. Maybe he heard John speak of the necessity to repent of one's sins and be washed clean of impurity in order to stand before the Holy One of Israel and receive the blessing of eternal life with Father Abraham and all the heavenly host. Or perhaps Zacchaeus had merely heard of these events and learned about the Christ from the testimony of others. But whatever came before that day in Jericho, Zacchaeus was now a changed man from his meeting with the Lord Jesus. "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." The arithmetic of this amendment of life was derived from the legal code given in Exodus, which governed how restitution was to be made after robbery or violent destruction of the property of others. And the sums mentioned by Zacchaeus were meant to go far beyond the requirements of the law. Such is the abundance of the life of grace. When Jesus first spoke to Zacchaeus with compassion, the crowd was offended, and they grumbled, "He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." Luke does not tell us how the townspeople reacted to the subsequent public confession of their chief tax collector and his announced intention to make restitution in their community. But whatever the thoughts of the crowd, the mind of the Savior was clear. And so Jesus said to the people, "Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Friends, the grace of God is free, but it is not cheap. The Lord Jesus comes to seek and save the lost. He comes to sinners and eats with us and dwells among us, not to leave us in our sins, but to change us from the inside out by liberating us from all our false selves and habitual lies and moral compromises, precisely so that he can restore us to the dignity and freedom of the children of God. And having restored us to that freedom, then enable us to live the truth of the Word of God by grace, through faith, hope, and love. When therefore we hear Christ's call to conversion and communion, we must come down with haste from whatever posture of sin or indecision we are in, and then promptly follow the Lord Jesus in the way of the cross with zeal, eagerness, and diligence. And making such a decision for Christ is how we will find the grace of salvation along with the chief tax collector of Jericho. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.